This is an interview with Betty Box, who now lives in Ignacio, Colorado. This interview is about her life as a member of the Southern Indian Tribe. This interview is being conducted on September 19, 1993, at the Ignacio Fairgrounds. The interview is Reddy Schmidt, representing the Center of Southwest Studies, Fort Lewis College, Durango, Colorado. Okay, let's see. Can you tell me about your life as living in the Southwest area?
Okay. I came to Ignacio from Fruta, Colorado when I was about 12 years old. And I lived in the boarding school. And that was new to me because when I lived in Fruta, I was free. I could do anything. But when I came to the boarding school, it was a Southern Ute Agency boarding school. I had to learn to take care of myself. I had to learn how to comb my hair and not see my parents every day, not be with my sisters every day, because I was actually one of the children that was put in the boarding school by herself with her brothers in the boarding school. And I lived there for 5 years.
Wow.
And by the time I got out, my parents had bought a place in Ignacio. And I was only around 15 and a half or 16. 16. Because at that time, I met my husband. And that is Eddie Box Jr. Yeah. And Eddie Box Jr. was so respectful to me. He used to open the door for me, and when we'd go out on dates, we dated every night, all the time. He even took me to school.
Wow.
And
was he currently going to school with you?
No, he's 3 years older than me.
Okay.
He's 3 years older than me. At that time, I was still 16 when I met him, and we didn't even know each other very long. I met him in July. I was engaged on my birthday when I got my class ring and my engagement ring, which was in October the 20th. And my parents gave me a birthday party. I invited his parents, his mother and father, and his Aunt Minnie Cloud.
Okay.
And that's where my husband asked for my hand and permission to get married. And I promised both parents that I would get my diploma and graduate, because that was very important to both parents, that I get my education. And my life, what I learned and everything I have learned is through because of my husband's family, the Southern Utes. It was through his family, his mother, his father. And when I learned something new, I'd always go to my mom and say, "Wow, you know, Mom, us women aren't supposed to do these certain things. Mom Mox just told me we're getting ready for Sundance or getting ready for Bear Dance." And my mom would sit back and I'd tell her, and she'd say, "Well, she is right. It used to be that way a long time ago, even in the Catholic Church, you know, the disciplinings of what us women can do and what we can't do."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, why didn't you tell me?" She just kind of referred that there were so many of us in my family, sisters and brothers. So, and she was too busy working, or her and dad, that actually I didn't have my mom and dad around all the time. I had to raise my younger twin sisters and twin brothers.
Wow.
And when I was in the boarding school, when I was out of the boarding school, I'd babysit while mom and dad would be out doing something. But when I married my husband, I mean, he had so much respect for me. I just said, "Wow, this guy is the guy I want to live with." And I made a vow with one of my girlfriends that I am going to marry someone smarter than me. Because I was very insecure. At that time, as a teenager, I was very insecure. Before I came to Ignacio, I was an F student. I did too much goofing up. because my parents weren't around.
Yeah, it's a lot of freedom.
I had a lot of freedom. Even though I took care of my sisters didn't come until, actually when we came to Ignacio, they were old enough to run around and all that, but I actually had to take care of them, and they came later on. It was me and my brothers, because we were a year apart. And we had a lot of freedom. Mom just used to make things and say, take care of them, while she was cleaning some rich person's house, or out in the fields with strawberries, picking strawberries and to get them all ready or something, you know. I was always by myself. And then in the boarding school, it was even more stricter because it was ran by a white person, you know, our head matrons. I went through, I would say about two or three head matrons. The first one I went to, I remember her, her name is Kita Life. She was so beautiful. In fact, the first time I was in the boarding school, I got an honorary citizenship. But as time went on, I started really getting into trouble, things like that. But when I met my husband, his parents taught me how to understand people, how to understand religion, how to understand the things around you. Because actually I was a mean person before I came here, and I didn't even realize that. I thought I was a good person until I graduated. I had one of my girlfriends say, wow, Betty, when you first came to Ignacio, I hated you. You were so mean. And I didn't realize that. My senior year, I was told that. And by then I was married, because I got married towards, you know, December, my junior year. And then I graduated with my son, who was born in September, and that's every box the third. And I took summer classes so that because I was going to have them in September. I didn't want to miss out on anything. And being that I was so insecure in a lot of things, even in school, I'd get a job, you know, the jobs they'd have for you.
Yeah, like the custodian work. Yeah.
I'd quit. I would just quit because I thought, you don't know it. Just. I was so scared, afraid to do something, and if a teacher told me to do something, I'd be so scared to say, will you help me?
Yeah.
And I would quit. But then when I married my husband, he gave me so much confidence in myself, plus the teachings, because being married to my husband, his dad would meet a lot of people of different tribes, medicine men, their wives, their families, or just people of different cultures who felt the same way Dad Box and Mom Box felt, the same teachings. Or they came to learn from Mom and Dad Box, and I would sit down and listen to Dad Box tell his stories on how we should treat each other, or how it was for him when he was growing up, and how he helped his family. And I could just sit there and listen. And while I was listening, I learned. I learned. And when I had my children, when they came into this world, I practiced what my in-laws taught me. And that was to be proud of yourself as an individual. Living wherever you're at. You are the teacher. You know? Like I learned today in sweat. See, just being around people. I had sweat this morning. 8 o'clock sharp. Oh. Not even in time, as people say. We have been taught to do things on time. That was through my mother-in-law. Sometimes we'd be still late at some things, but now that my husband and I are involved in helping people, we learn to do things on time. And as I was teaching my children, I taught them, I let them go to the Indian Baptist Mission, I let them go to the Assembly of God, and sometimes, and we're Catholics, and we follow our Indian tradition, we don't separate anything, and this is what I've learned, living here in Ignacio, I plan to live and die here, because I love going other places.
Visiting.
Visiting or just experiencing whatever. We've experienced racial things. And I understand why Indians of other cultures, different tribes, feel the way they do. Why there is prejudice. I understand why, because I see how they're treated, because I felt the treatment. When we were on our way to Canada, to a powwow and a big old education conference, the kids over here raised a lot of money and through bake sales and things like that, and I was part of the chaperone. We went, when we hit Wyoming, nobody wanted to feed us. It was breakfast time. We stopped at this truck stop, and there was a big old, there was plenty of room for us to sit. No one let us.
They wouldn't let you in the building?
They wouldn't let us. They wouldn't let us sit us down to eat. They said they were full.
Wow.
And we were kind of angry, but we had been praying all that time. We're concentrating, supporting each other whenever something negative would come up, just to show the kids, this is how you handle it. So instead of throwing a tantrum and getting angry, I'm a talker, because my husband encouraged me through time of being married. He's encouraged me to do things. Don't stop there. As long as you know it's good, do it.
Good
advice. I've learned to talk. I've learned to share. And so I got on that CB and I found a place. And it was kind of scary, because those people are really nice, though. But the plate mat said something about the cavalry coming, you know, slaughtering, Indian slaughtering the settlers.
Oh, no.
Oh, kids, just turn this over so we can enjoy our meal. Because the people were nice.
That's nice.
You know, and whenever I would experience racial problems, I would tell the individuals, come to Colorado. You come to where we live. We will teach you how to care about each other and treat each other. Because when I have visitors that come here, my home is their home. You know?
Yeah, the old saying.
Yeah, it really is. And I've been taught a lot of respect through the Southern Utes, because I feel that these people are gifted here because they follow their ceremonies to the penny. Some people are rude, okay? That's in every culture.
Yeah, no doubt.
Some people make you feel so small that I probably would never be nothing if my husband was that type of person or his family. I would be still a nobody or nothing. But because of the respect that, you know, being that I'm a woman, okay, I will call it the moon. That's what the Indian women call it.
Okay.
When we're on our moon, we don't go on sacred grounds, or we don't go in the sweat lodges, but that doesn't mean we can't continue to live, you know, live normal lives.
Yeah.
In other words, don't be afraid just because you're that way, because you should be proud. That's your time of cleaning. That's your time of privacy. That's your special moment, you know. That's what I was taught by my mother-in-law. It's not an omen. It's a time of cleansing for a woman and a time for her man to be by himself. So your relationship become, your bonding can become strong. You can be as one, not two individuals over here trying to battle his way, my way. You know, we give each other space.
Yeah.
And through the Southern Utes, I learned through their bear dance. You know, you can't dance with your husband. You can't dance with your children or your auntie or your uncle.
You can?
No. Your blood relatives, you cannot dance with them.
Wow, that's interesting. Do you know the reason you've had that?
Well, the reason is, the whole thing behind it is to discipline yourself. To understand that there's times you can't do something. When you're told no, accept it. When it's good, you know, accept it, because it brings your marriage closer. Because there's different versions of the story that the bear spirit, you know, in real life, he was there and he came in a dream to this person, this young man. And then when the young man woke up, you know, he actually did see these bears dancing. And he was to go back and share this with at the camp, you know, to tell his people, you know, this is the time to share. This is the time of mating. Actually, this is how I actually met my husband. Because when you're single, you can dance with anybody. And when you're married, you dance with someone, but you understand you're still married. That doesn't mean you go and bond with this total stranger. You know, it's just that of friendship. You know, that you dance. And it actually has made my marriage at first, yes, my husband was jealous. People do go through those things. They're normal. And as time goes on, through the teachings that I've learned through my husband's tribe and his family, it actually has... I used to hate to go to church. I really did. To listen to a Spaniard, a priest from Spain, because that's what the Catholic Church used to get in Ignacio years ago,
yeah.
Was a priest from Spain. And all they would preach about was money, 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 money. You know?
Really?
Yes. And you'd be there. Okay. In fact, I even used to argue with the priest and say, you can't say that.
Oh, wow.
You know, but that was when I got to really learn things as I was going, you know, when I just living around this environment.
Yeah.
I learned things and in fact, the priest that married my husband and I, he was so neat. I didn't want him to marry me because I didn't want to hear the Indians be put down. The only time the Indians come to church is for funerals, weddings. Why don't you come to church all the time? I didn't want to hear that in my wedding.
Yeah.
And this priest wanted to marry us so bad. He came to my mom privately and he shared with my parents, what does Betty think I am, the devil or something? And so he asked my mom to share that with me, and I told her, well, if he promises not to put down the Indian side, he can marry us. And we had the Indian ceremony.
Yeah, could you tell me a little bit between the two?
Or well, the Indian ceremony, what we had was, first we had the church, and then at the reception, Junior's parents had this elderly couple, they were from Taos, this elderly couple had adopted Indian through the Indian tradition, they adopted Dad Box as their grandson.
Okay.
And they were very special to the Box family, so they had asked this elderly couple to bless my husband and I, and they did. I got a shawl, I got some Pueblo shoes, Pueblo moccasins, and I got two special scarves that are really beautiful. To this day, I still have two of them, except I gave away the shawl to someone special. And the shoes, as life was going along, I lost them from moving around.
Yeah.
But they blessed us at during the reception. They put the blanket. We also had a robe. It was purple. I remember that, and it had colors, and they put it over my husband and I, and we fed each other, and this elderly couple went and prayed over us, fanned us, and my in-laws had a giveaway, gifts that they gave.
Yeah.
And I feel that's what really was the main scene that helped my husband and I go through our crisis, because we're just like anybody else. We've had crises. Personal crisis through our marriage, and then with our children, now that they're adults. But you know, I learned from the Southern Utes and my husband's family that when someone is sick, okay, you, an elderly person, will pick an elderly person. And I see you as a young person.
Okay.
I will put your image in that elderly person's body. I see you in that elderly person's body because you're healthy, you don't take drugs, you don't take alcohol, and you believe in what's good, and your prayers will go into that elderly person and they'll get well because I saw them that way. And you are real. And like when my children were going through crisis, I would ask a lot of people to pray that were healthy, not into drugs, not into alcohol, and believed in what was good. And my my son or my children, whatever they go through, they go back to what they were before they met that crisis. And they're normal again. That's what I call them. Normal. You don't take those things. And you can be open. I have learned not to be secretive. I've learned to be open. I've learned to share. I love living where I'm at. I've learned to be proud of who I am. Half Spanish, half Navajo. Enrolled as a fourth Navajo. And the reason I'm half is my mother's half Spanish and half Navajo, and she's not enrolled. My father's half Navajo and half Spanish, but he's enrolled. So that's where I get my degree of blood, you know, to be enrolled in the Navajo tribe. And I'm very proud to be who I am. But I was raised with the white people, because they were my best friends when I was growing up. In fact, my best friend was a German girl. She was from Germany. And when she would go home, her parents couldn't speak English, and she'd speak in German to them. And I really don't remember her name, because when I came here, this is where my memories are.
Kind of like where they start.
Yeah, because I was an F student. I was always in trouble. It's a miracle I made it when I married my husband. Because he's the one that gave me confidence that you can do it. There was even a teacher in junior high, Mr. Romero, Joseph Romero, who's okay. The mayor.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Mayor. Wow.
Yes. He was a teacher. And I did not know until I was 23 years old. I was talking about something to my mom. I was really upset because my husband encouraged me to work in a bar as a cocktail waitress after I had my third child, and that was Melanie. And I had this hot, red hot pants and sexy outfit, and oh my gosh, you know what a woman looks like after she has a baby. I mean, I wasn't super fat, but to me I was. And I had quit drinking because I used to drink. In fact, I never drank until I met my husband, too. Because he drank at those times. And that when we first got married, we made a vow that there would be, if we drank, we would drink together. Because if anything happened that was not good, we had nobody to blame but ourselves.
That way you weren't fighting with each other about it.
Yes. And well, we had our bad experience, and we were told to stop drinking. His mother used to always lecture us, and she used to boil sage. And before sweat, she knew the majority of us young adults went out and partied. So she'd have us drink it before we'd go into sweat. And Mom Box is the person that really has taught me a lot. I always give her the credit, you know. My mom respects that too. My mom is not jealous of that area, you know, because I can share things to my real mom, my mom, and Jenny B. Hill, and my mom just feels so comfortable. She supports what Mom Box taught me. And my mother never would say something negative or put anything down that I would go and say, boast, wow, Mom, I learned this.
Yeah.
Mom Box really taught me a lot, how to be a woman. In fact, when pictures were taken, she'd say, okay, Betty, put one foot in front, you know, stand up straight. She always taught me how to stand up, how to conduct myself out in public. And my husband gave me the courage, because I was a cocktail waitress when I stopped drinking. I had actually stopped drinking because we were told to stop.
That takes a lot of control.
Yes. And at that time I was being doctored too by a Sioux medicine man that I was told that we couldn't even take a sip. But see, I didn't tell anybody I did. I was being doctored because I used to be sickly after I had my second child. And that was Matthew. And I was being doctored, and I did get healed. And when I was working in the bar, you know, everybody would always offer to have a drink. They buy it for you. And I'd say, okay, I'll take a Coke so I wouldn't offend the customer. But this one person said, come on, try this, it's a new drink. I was going, no. I quit drinking, no. But they say, what's wrong with just a little bit? So I did. I said, well, okay. And then the medicine man, I had told nobody, not even my husband. And when he was doctoring me, he says, not even a sip. I said, wow.
Kind of scared you a little bit, huh?
And I was still, you know, I was still young in them days. And just learning all these things, learning the good side and the bad side, because now in 1993, there's a good side of Indian medicine and there's a bad side. And as life has got, as I've gotten older, I've been saying I'm 43. And I, now that I'm doing all this certification on this new job I have at the casino, I have to have a certification on my Indian blood, which I finally got, certification on my birth, I finally got that, that I lost my track, and we're taping.
Oh, it's okay. You're telling everybody that you're 43?
Yeah, well, when I was going through that, oh my gosh, you're not 43, you're 44. And I gained a year next month.
Wow.
I turned 45. And I've just learned to be happy. And yes, I do have my crisis times. There was a time that I almost lost it, you know, because I have a son that got into drugs. And we're still very close. In fact, when he was growing up, he and I always fought. Always. I mean, he was the child that was always in the emergency room because he fell down and out of a tree and cut himself. And I was working for the community center. At that time, my mother always would help me watch him in the daytime if daycare was closed. And my son, mom said it was so funny. This one time he came and Edward and Melanie were trying to hide and help him at the same time so he wouldn't get in trouble. And they wrapped him up with tissue paper and he was bleeding all over. Mom goes, they said, Grandma, Matthew fell or something and he cut himself and he was bleeding. You know, she called me, I rushed him into the stitches. They got to know this kid by heart. And now that he's an adult, that's what he wanted to be. But then he had a severe head injury, big old crane bucket. And it went right before his eyes. It hit him there. And his personality really changed. And it was really hard for me and my husband to go through this crisis, seeing a child that's so close to you and you can't help them.
But I didn't
give up. I would ask people to pray for him. And sometimes he'd come home and, Mom, this, that. Or he'd be so frustrated because I had talked, according to him, too much. And I would share with him and he'd finally calm down. I only shared the truth and for people to pray for you. There's nothing wrong with that. And look at him. He's doing great. He's happy now. You know?
That's good.
And that's because I've learned not to give up. And my sister Zira even ready put me in the nun house up in Durango and I said, look, I've got to deal with this myself. And my husband helped me. We did it together. It actually brought our family close together. There's things that sometimes we take a lot for granted.
Yeah.
Like the traditional medicine songs. And just prayers. Sometimes people will come up to me and say, hey, put that away. It's not right. Or, hey, don't go into the sweat lodge. It's not right. Or there's bad medicine. Or somebody's going to do something to you. Or someone's doing witchcraft over here. And I know those things exist. Okay? But that's those individuals' choices. That's not mine. And I'm not even going to criticize them for that because that's them. And whoever I help, I teach them, that's you, just like me. I always tell my kids, we don't have our hands tied. You know, our hands are not tied. They're free. We live in America. We have the right to do anything we want, good or bad. But why do you want to choose the bad? You know, I've fasted with my husband. I learned that through my mother-in-law. That being that he's a Sundance person, and in fact he finished his 12th year this year.
Wow. He's performed a Sundance 12 times?
He has Sundanced for 12 times.
Wow. Do they still, is it still where they put like the...
Piercing?
The pierce the skin?
Well, some men do that. Some tribes do that. The Sioux tribe and certain tribes do that. My husband never did go for that because he Sundanced here on the Southern Ute Reservation. And then he would go to the Northern Utes and Sundance over there. And it wasn't all the time, though, that he'd go with the Northern Utes. Just once in a while we would go. And I would fast on the outside.